So today is 22 September. It's Wednesday. I'm Charlie Garratton. This is the Midweek CG Report. How to kill off your citizens. That and other things to go over on today's report. All right, I got a letter here from Dr. Tamzin Rosenwasser. She's a doctor here in Sarasota, very conservative lady, does a great job with many things in the local community. And she typed something up concerning doctors' rights here in Florida, but it really pertains to rights all over the place. She says, the Federation of State Medical Boards has been described thus. It is a private lobbying organization that represents the state's attorneys who work for medical boards. The Federation of State Medical Boards has released the following statement. Physicians who generate and spread vaccine misinformation or disinformation are risking disciplinary action by state medical boards, including the suspension or revocation of their medical license. Due to their specialized knowledge and training, licensed physicians possess a high level of public trust and therefore have a powerful platform in society, whether they recognize it or not. They also have an ethical and professional responsibility to practice medicine in the best interests of their patients and must share information that is factual, scientifically grounded, and consensus-driven. Imagine that, consensus-driven. For the betterment of public health. Spreading inaccurate COVID-19 vaccine information contradicts that responsibility, threatens to further erode public trust in the medical profession, and puts all patients at risk. She says, that reminds me of Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis, the physician who spread misinformation and disinformation about hand washing in a hospital in Hungary in the mid-1800s. He had noticed that the mortality rate after childbirth was about 6 to 9 times higher in a clinic where the physicians had been mandated, that word again, to do autopsies in addition to taking care of patients than in another clinic where midwives delivered the babies, but did not do autopsies. Dr. Semmelweis thought that there was something being carried from autopsies to pregnant women at delivery by those who did the delivery after having performed an autopsy. He therefore required the medical students and doctors he supervised to wash their hands with a chlorinated lime solution, which cleaned and even removed the smell from their hands. His rule caused a dramatic fall in death rates among postpartum women. His ideas were not accepted. Dr. Semmelweis's ideas were discounted and were ridiculed. Despite the drop in mortality his hand washing caused, in 1861, Dr. Semmelweis became depressed and was put into a mental hospital where he was beaten. An injury became infected and he died of sepsis. The person who took his place in the maternity clinic abandoned hand washing and mortality rates septupled. In the 1980s, Barry Marshall and Robin Warren wrote a scientific paper concerning the role they had discovered the bacterium Helicobacter pylori plays in peptic ulcer disease. At the time, too much stomach acid plus spicy food and stress were blamed for peptic ulcer disease. That was met with the consensus-driven information at the time. Marshall and Warren were met with skepticism. But at least they weren't beaten to death in an insane asylum for their efforts to take care of their patients. They actually won the Nobel Prize for Physiology in 2005. Now, only 16 years later, we have an experimental vaccine which is still in emergency use authorization only. It was introduced 8 months ago without animal trials. The disease it was developed for has a survival rate in the high 90% range, and death occurs usually only in people already unwell with chronic diseases. There have been several side effects in some recipients, including myocarditis in over 1,200 patients, death in over 4,600, Guillain-Barré syndrome in over 450, many types of bleeding and clotting disorders, MI stroke, etc., have been reported to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. To coerce people to be vaccinated against their wills violates the Nuremberg Code. Did we once have an actual meeting of minds that the things done by doctors in Germany at the direction of that national socialist government warranted the Nuremberg Code designed to prevent any reoccurrence of such medical experiments? Consensus. Is there a consensus among all 50 states that physicians are to be muzzled, silenced, and have their lives destroyed in case they do not agree with the new NKVD? Consensus? Forced consensus. Isn't that a synonym for groupthink? If no one can ever think or say anything that does not meet with the approval of the FSMB, we will never advance. At one time, there was probably a consensus that the only way to get from point A to point B was to walk. Was there a consensus in Germany in the 1930s and 1940s that Jewish, Romani, and Slavic peoples were a disease on the superior Aryan race? Was that consensus enforced by fear? Was there also a consensus that Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholic priests, and Lutherans like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who did not agree with that consensus, were to be tortured and executed along with the people they defended? Physicians have a right to free speech. We are not serfs, slaves, pawns, or puppets of the new NKVD. If physicians and their patients see a cause for caution, they must be left alone, not coerced, to follow the party line. Well said. From ABC, Alaska once had the highest vaccination rate. Now it's in a COVID-19 crisis. In January, Alaska had the highest per capita coronavirus vaccination rate in the nation. Now, hospitals are overwhelmed with COVID-19 patients, and the state's largest hospital is rationing care. Vaccine hesitancy and the Delta variant have pushed the state's fragile and limited hospital system to the breaking point. I would say that it's getting the vaccines, not vaccine hesitancy. Providence Alaska Medical Center, the state's largest hospital, released a letter to the public saying that more than 30% of its patients have COVID-19 and the hospital is rationing treatment. Of Alaska's 120 ICU beds, 106 were filled as of Thursday, leaving only 14 beds available statewide. Alaska had a strong initial vaccine rollout, delivering doses to remote areas of the state by helicopters, planes, dog sleds, and ferries, with additional support from the Indian Health Service and state tribal health system to vaccinate Alaska natives. Due to the challenges posed by the state's vast size, it received vaccination allocations monthly as opposed to weekly, giving it the ability to plan ahead and deliver many doses early on. Probably killed a lot of people, too. From Zero Hedge, DeSantis office. Over half, this is in Florida, over half of those seeking life-saving COVID-19 treatment in South Florida are fully vaccinated. More than half of the patients getting the monoclonal antibody treatment in South Florida are fully vaccinated, DeSantis spokeswoman Christina Pushaw wrote in a response to a comment on Twitter that suggested that only unvaccinated people are the reason why there's a significant demand for monoclonal antibodies. Florida, she wrote hours earlier, is above average in vaccination rate, and that more than half of the patients in South Florida getting monoclonal antibody treatment are vaccinated and have breakthrough infections. Earlier, the White House and DHHS announced plans to control the U.S. monoclonal antibody supply due to distribution issues. According to HHS's website, the agency will determine the weekly amount of MAB products each state and territory receives based on COVID-19 case burden and monoclonal antibody treatment utilization. A spokesperson for HHS told CNN that Florida, Texas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and Louisiana, surprisingly, they're all southern states, kind of clumped around each other, are using 70% of the drug. given this reality, well, let's think now. Most of the liberals live in other areas, and we would say that 70% of the brightest people in the nation are probably in the areas that are using the right drugs. Anyway, we'll go on. Given this reality, we must work to ensure our supply of these life-saving therapies remains available for all states and territories, not just some. Adding that a new system will help maintain equitable distribution both geographically and temporally across the country. Does anybody believe that the U.S. government is going to do a good job at this? Absolutely not. They're taking it away because they know that, especially Florida, DeSantis is proving their theories about COVID-19 completely wrong. That's what's going on. They go on, providing states and territories with consistent, fairly distributed supply over the coming weeks. Before the change, states and hospitals could purchase the antibodies on their own without going through the federal government. More than 50% of the monoclonal antibodies that had been used in Florida were going to be reduced, DeSantis said on Thursday, adding that there is going to be a huge disruption and patients are going to suffer as a result of this, meaning patients are going to die. They are going to be executed by the federal government of the United States of America. That's what that means. DeSantis's office said that the state would deal directly with GlaxoSmithKline, a maker of monoclonal antibody infusion treatments. So he's going around the government anyway, and he's going to get this however he can to protect the citizens of the state of Florida. We have a great, great governor here. From the Epoch Times, some of them will die. Alabama hit hard by monoclonal antibody rationing. The federal government's sudden rationing of monoclonal antibody treatments, which keep Americans who get COVID-19 out of hospitals, is hitting Alabama hard, with some sites already running out of or projected to run out of supply soon. The antibodies are highly successful at stemming the effects of COVID-19 when given to patients soon after they contract the disease, which is caused by the Chinese Communist Party virus. But a huge jump in demand in recent weeks has left what some officials have described as a national shortage, triggering the federal government to intervene and start doling out what's left. Stringfellow and Regional Medical Center in Anniston didn't have any of the antibodies left. Other facilities in Jefferson and Huntsville counties are struggling to source enough of the treatment. Some entities are very low on the product, and some project running out of product over the weekend. That was this past weekend, just a day ago. The shortage is hitting at a critical time. Intensive care unit capacity is beyond full. What that means is that a lot of people got their vaccines and it didn't work and they had breakthroughs. That's what that means. That means there are more people in the state that require critical care than there are beds to take care of them. COVID-19 isn't entirely to blame, as many patients don't have the disease, but the monoclonal antibody shortage will likely contribute to the issue. Some 70% of patients who get the treatment soon after their diagnosis don't need hospital care, according to clinical studies and experts. We were originally told by the federal government we were only going to get 70% of our allocation. That means 30% of the people are not being treated, and some of them will die. Once again, the federal government executing its own citizens. They go on, that is not acceptable. This is not right, what the federal government's doing. No kidding. They want these people dead because they vote conservative. They want a completely utopian lefty government, and when it comes about, they'll all be dead from their own vaccines. From the Western Journal, Alabama hospital defies Biden administration, ends COVID vaccine requirement for staff. Good for them. Bowing to the threat of legal action against it, one Alabama hospital has rescinded its requirement that all staff be vaccinated against the coronavirus. UAB Hospital in Birmingham said it will wait to learn how the federal vaccine mandates announced by Biden play out before imposing any requirement. Last week, the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty said the hospital was violating state law. The letter said the state's ban on vaccine passports means government entities cannot require anyone to disclose vaccine information. As the Supreme Court of Alabama has recognized, UAB Hospital is a state-run hospital, the letter said. Consequently, UAB Hospital may not require its employees to disclose whether they have been vaccinated or not. Likewise, the Alabama Attorney General has examined the law and concluded that no government, school, or business in Alabama may demand that a constituent or customer, respectively, be vaccinated for COVID-19 or show proof of his or her vaccination for the COVID-19, the letter said. Unfortunately, it doesn't cover trans people that are Zers and Zays and all that kind of stuff, so they have to show their vaccine stamp, I'm sure, but the people that aren't in that category do not have to. Zero Hedge. Alberta's health minister says unvaccinated will not be permitted to attend indoor private gatherings. You can't go to an indoor private gathering in Alberta, Canada. Imagine that. Alberta's health minister, Jason Kenney, went back on his promise not to impose vaccine passports in the Canadian province of Alberta, even pledging to fight back if the federal government tried to enforce one, and declared a state of emergency that will leave unvaccinated Albertans essentially trapped inside their own homes. At Kenney's behest, Alberta's health minister, Tyler Shandro, announced that the government of Alberta will be implementing several restrictions. All Canadians must mask up at work, and any Canadians who can must work from home. Individuals must provide proof of vaccination or a recent negative test simply to enter a business, and the unvaccinated will not be permitted to attend any private indoor social gatherings as well. How sad. Zero Hedge. Why does no one ever talk about Sweden anymore? Remember Sweden? No lockdowns, no this, no that. Everybody just go do your own thing. Now that Sweden has dropped to 40th. Yes, 40th, not fourth, 40th in COVID mortality rate, and continued to report extremely low recent rates of both cases and deaths, they're suddenly uninterested. It's a microcosm of the disastrous, indefinite mess we're living through. Experts incorrectly, hysterically screeched that masks and business closures and capacity limits were absolutely necessary to keep COVID under control. And the media immediately assumed their role as promoters of incompetent groupthink and professional scolds of any who disagreed. Sweden went against the herd. Thus, they must be scorned and labeled by the arbiters of acceptable opinion. There will never be a reckoning or acceptance of fault on the part of the media, because they are incapable of correcting their preconceptions and admitting that the science was wrong. They place their unquestioning faith in experts having a level of competence that they simply do not possess. And if there were any sanity or justice in the world, they would be held to account for their inaccuracy and the influence it's had on COVID policy. But, of course, as we all know, sanity and the age of reason and enlightenment ended with the 15 days to slow the spread 549 days ago. Mail online. Crime soars in Minneapolis as cops fear being unfairly targeted in woke viral videos. Traffic stops drop by 74% and problem area patrols by 76% in wake of George Floyd death and defund police movement. In-depth analysis shows policing plunged in Minneapolis starting last June. Traffic stops dropped 74% and foot patrols plunged 69%. Cops were apparently reluctant to engage after fear over George Floyd's death. Well, who would want to go to jail for doing their job? Some even slow down their response calls in hopes suspects will leave first. But fewer stops meant fewer people being searched for drugs and guns. Residents say the city has become a gangster's paradise for criminals. Murders in Minneapolis are on track to reach a 20-year high. Epoch Times, Minnesota Supreme Court allows proposal to dismantle, replace police department on ballot. The Minnesota Supreme Court ruled that voters in Minneapolis will be able to have their say on the city's police department on the local ballot. It overturned a local court ruling that struck down a proposed ballot initiative asking voters to replace the city's police department with a new Department of Public Safety, an amendment that came in the wake of the national protests and riots after George Floyd's death. According to the proposed charter amendment, the DPS would employ a comprehensive public health approach to the delivery of functions of public safety and could include licensed peace officers, if necessary, to fulfill its responsibilities. The proposed department would be led by a city council-appointed commissioner and could include police officers if necessary. It would consist of peace officers and would ensure public safety through a holistic public health-oriented approach, according to the city's website. Good luck on that, folks. From the Hill, longtime TV meteorologist fired for declining vaccine. A longtime Michigan televised meteorologist said he was fired for declining to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Well, he's an older guy. He's been in the thing for 33 years now. It's probably the best thing for him rather than dying in front of the camera. Today, it is with a heavy heart I announce after over 33 years, I am no longer employed at TV6. Former WLUC TV6 chief meteorologist Carl Bonnock wrote in a Facebook post. Bonnock said that he declined to follow the mandatory vaccination requirements of his station's corporate owner, Gray Television. I have decided against the vaccine option, first and foremost, because the manufacturers of these injections have absolutely no liability if injury or death occurs after the shot, Bonnock said in a Wednesday post. I asked myself, would I buy brakes for my vehicle if the brake company had no liability if the brakes failed? No. So I will certainly not allow a medicine in my body from a company that does not stand behind its product. Bonnock also urged those who are still unvaccinated to speak up. Those who love America and the freedom and liberty it stands for must speak up. Hopefully it's not too late, he wrote. Well, it probably is too late. We've got a lefty administration which is doing everything possible in every direction to destroy this nation as quickly as possible, including executing its citizens. This is high treason. I don't know how they can get away with this without the people going into an uproar, but eventually they're going to push the wrong button and then things will probably go into an uproar. But they are purposefully destroying the foundational underpinnings of our nation. It's a terrible thing that's going on in the United States of America and in Canada and Australia and New Zealand and countries that once held to values and just believed that people could be free and earn their own way and work hard and get ahead in life. All that's behind us now. Unless things change, which doesn't seem likely, then we're going to be stuck with this and we're going to be in a prison planet very soon. All right, from radio, here's where and why San Francisco marathon runners will need to wear masks. San Francisco marathon runners wearing masks. Imagine that. They're going to have to do this. And then we have from Breitbart, maskless San Francisco mayor caught partying at a club violating city's mandates. Well, it's okay for her. She can do whatever she wants. She's a lefty. She's in charge. She totally dismisses other people, including these people that are in the marathon. They have to run with masks on, and some of them will probably keel over. Speaking of keeling over, Epic Times, Biden, to take COVID-19 booster jab on camera, says the White House. Maybe he'll take his jab and keel over. You know, that would be bad, though, because then we'd be stuck with Kamala Lama Ding Dong. Either way, it's just bad news for the United States of America at this point in history. So what we can do is just pray that there will be reason somehow brought back into this nation. I don't know how it'll happen, you know, but one way or another, if not, we have a better hope in Jesus Christ. And so I would hope that you would focus on that. The things in the world we have to report on. I can't be silent about these type of things. If I read these type of articles and I don't tell you what's going on, then I'd be negligent. And I don't want to do that. At the same time, I don't want to be a downer. So I try to make the Sunday reports happy. You know, I try to get some people involved and we laugh and have a good time. But it's a depressing world, isn't it? So fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your heart tuned to him. And everything will come out in the wash because he will take us to a much better place than this crummy, fallen world. Okay, we'll be out of here while these people are destroying each other during the tribulation period. Thank God for Jesus Christ and the hope he gives us. So, such is the world in which we live. And from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, and all over the place, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your Midweek CG Report.